Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue on with our inventory of the whole armor of God. We've taken a look at this so far, and we talked about last time. We're giving consideration to the type of armor and then some details about such. We looked at last time about the girding of truth, a preparatory part of the armor, and then we took a look at the breastplate of righteousness, a defensive piece of the whole armor of God. And now here in verse number 15, we're going to pick up here and take a look at the shodding of our feet. In verse number 15, or let's just back up, in verse number 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." It's a complete set, and it's custom fit by the Lord to us. We need to take it to us. We need to put it on, verse number 11. Put it on, take it to us. This is adding to our faith. This falls in line with that, as it tells us in 2 Peter, and the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our lives. This is also related to that and part of that, taking on. Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." And we took a look at the reasons and other services about the wiles of the devil and the fiery darts of the wicked that we'll see about here even this time. In verse number 15, it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So we've got our loins girt about, the loins of our mind, the breastplate of righteousness, and now it talks about the feet, the shodding of the feet. This is also a preparatory part of the armor, because I mean, unless you're like a kung fu master, you don't fight anybody with your feet. The example that the apostle's given to us of a Roman soldier, a conventional soldier, okay, not a ninja expert, but you know, it would be one that they're shod, their feet are shod. It's a preparatory type of the armor that's there. As we consider that, you know, I ask a question: Do you like to wear shoes? You know, some people don't like to wear shoes. Man, as soon as they get a chance, they kick those shoes off. I like to wear shoes. I like to wear shoes. I'm more comfortable with shoes on. That's my personal preference. When I wear my shoes, my feet are protected, and I like that. It makes me feel less vulnerable. But can you imagine and think about, consider, in your mind's eye, if you would, fighting a battle without shoes on? Okay, you're out there with a wad of people, a wad of soldiers, and you're making this advance, or you're in the throes of fighting in the battle, and you don't have any shoes on. Wouldn't that really feel vulnerable? It would. Arrows, spears, and swords flying around. If you got some klutz like me, I'm even dropping my stuff, you know, might drop it on your foot. You know, what about when we make some, you know, a group of soldiers would make some effort to make a charge or whatever there, you know, and you're there working towards that, or looking to defend, or looking to attack or whatever in that example, and trying to just rush to that point to get done whatever you're doing. You might be stepping on each other's feet. And you don't say, pardon me, excuse me. You don't do that, you know, but if you didn't have shoes on, that'd really be tough, wouldn't it? That would hurt. All the hardware flying around and everything. What about the other guys, with the other soldiers with shoes stepping on your feet, and you don't have any shoes on? When you don't have shoes on, then somebody steps on. Every now and then, Clarissa will be going around there, and I or one of the kids, and they'll be going around barefoot, and they'd get up close to me because I'm hard of hearing, and they're looking to tell me something. I step on their toe, and they go, "Ow! Ouch!" I don't do it on purpose most of the time, but it happens, and it really hurts. If somebody's wearing shoes, and they're not wearing shoes, and you step on their foot, it really, really hurts. What if your leader, all right, your sergeant, your commander, or whatever, told you to carry a message to the general through the slick mud or across land with treacherous sharp rocks? Wouldn't you want some shoes? You would, wouldn't? And some of the historically, some of the shoes that we understand, even the ancient Romans that they wore, they had shoes with nails in them. and even the Chaldeans. I've seen that along the way in some of the books that I've had or have looked at. You know, they had shoes with spikes or cleats. Man, if you didn't have shoes, you ran into somebody like that, it'd be tough. Or you're given this message, and over this rough terrain or this slick terrain, you know, you'd like to have something on your feet where you get a grip, right? And so shoes are indeed important. The shodding of the feet is important. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus has told his children and his churches to do, is that we've got a message, and we are to go into the world. We that are saved and in his churches, we're going in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is it that it says? Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, those are our marching orders, if you will. In Mark chapter 16, take a look over here real quick. Mark 16, verse number 15. And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, that is his disciples in the church, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're to do, every creature. That's you and me in the church. Yes, I'm pastor, but I can't do it all. But there needs to be a ministry of the church, needs to be a ministry of the pastor, needs to be a ministry of the individual members to tell the gospel to the Lord Jesus Christ. One sister here said recently, she desired our prayers that she would do more fishing. We need to do more fishing. We need to do all the fishing that we can. We do. And we've got tracks here, and we can get more tracks. And if there's some subject that you think we need a track about or something that you're dealing with, I'll do my best. Something together or get something for that. But we need to be fishing. We need to be spreading the gospel. And it's interesting that it says, is that bugging you? It's got to where it's bugging me now. That we need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is the gospel that will bring peace to sinners, isn't it? And verse number 15 of Romans 10, a familiar passage, a very familiar passage. And sad to say in our day misused a lot, but it is the truth. It is here for us in Romans 10:15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Yes, there are ministers and there are preachers, there's pastors in the Lord's churches, but the people of God, in a sense, are to be involved with the proclamation of the gospel to each one that they meet. We're there. We've been sent by the Lord. What's the first part of the commission? To teach all nations, right? And we read it in other words there in Mark chapter 16. The gospel is the reason to go. Carrying the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at this morning. To sinners in need of salvation, the need of salvation of their souls, that's the first part and main mission of the Lord's churches. There won't be anybody to baptize, and there won't be anybody to teach you all things to if we don't do the first part. Won't be. There, it won't be. The parts of the commission are in order, and we're to carry that gospel to every creature. The gospel is the reason to go. The gospel of peace is what sinners need and what they need to believe. And we need to prepare it on our feet. You need to prepare it on your feet. I need to prepare it on my feet and be ready to go and tell it to sinners. And that's what the passage said over there in Ephesians 6. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What did it say? It said, take unto you the whole armor of God and put on the armor of God. And so we've got a responsibility to do that. And so we see here another preparatory part of the whole armor of God. Back in Ephesians 6, take a look over here. Let's read in Ephesians 6. In verse number 16, listen to what it says here. Interesting wording. We looked at verse number 15, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, semicolon, above all, taking the shield of faith. So now, above all, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. If a soldier is running and they're hastily, they're being invaded or whatever, and they're scrambling through their armor, it's kind of given the indication, make sure you've got that shield of faith. Make sure that you have that. The shield of faith is indeed a defensive part of the whole armor of God, isn't it? It's a defensive part, the shield. The shield. With that shield of faith, the entire body can be protected, right? With the shield of faith, we can ward off a head blow. We can ward off a blow to the middle part of the body or even the lower part of the body. The shield, even there is a sense that the shield can be used as an offensive weapon to some extent, but it's namely a defensive, a part of the whole armor of God. The shield of faith is the first piece of the whole armor of God that a saved sinner is given by the Lord. Faith. Faith. Without faith, we have nothing, do we? It's not faith of ourselves. Faith, we know the scripture bears out, is given by God, isn't it? Faith is given by the Lord to us, and where it's possessed. Faith is possessed by saved sinners. Faith is not an object or a thing. You can't hold faith in your hands. You can't take faith and put it in your pocket. Faith is simply believing what God says and acting upon it to the extent that we are able. You buy that? Faith is believing what God says and then acting on it to the extent that we are able. Now, our ability is limited. But the Lord, and the different things we've looked at here recently, the Lord strengthens His people in our pursuits, doesn't He? We can't take it. You can't take it and hold it in your hand, but it is indeed possessed by saved people. What's it say in Hebrews 10? Take a look over here. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23, read what it says there. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Okay? So as we're admonished here and to be doing the part that we should do and being in the Lord's church, and He's placed us in His church and such as that, that's where it's for. He says, we need to hold fast. We have professed with our mouth faith in God. That's, we're to declare it. If a sinner has been saved, it's hard to keep it in, isn't it? You can't keep it in. I trust not, because it's life from within. Where, as the man that was blind said, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. And when you can see, can you keep it to yourself? No, we can't. We can't keep it to ourselves. We've been changed by the Lord. Let us hold fast of our faith without wavering. The Lord's faithful, and He saved us. And by virtue of saving us, He's given us faith, and we do believe. And we need to not waver in that profession of faith. It's not the words that save us, but having faith in Christ, we declare it. And we need to hold it fast without wavering. And that's the reason for the armor, taking the whole armor of God. What's He tell us to do? To stand. And having done all to stand and to withstand in that evil day. And so that's another way of saying it. In Hebrews chapter 11, just over on the next page, in verse number 6, it says here in the honor roll of faith, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Got to believe that He's there, that He's real, that this is not a fairy tale, but it's so, and that the Word of God is true, and God says what He means. And we need to believe what God says and know that it is solid. Faith is given by God, but it is indeed possessed by we that are saved. In 1 John, verse number 5, take a look over here. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in the Lord. Is how we overcome. And that's what we read in this morning in the scripture where it says that the Lord's taken the base things and weak things and things that make the way of the world, the men of the world, scratch their head. And how can that happen? How can that be? How can these people stand? Our forefathers were persecuted and persecuted and persecuted and persecuted. In Constantine's day, there in the early 4th century, right? He took a position of, if you can't beat them, join them. Okay, because they killed the Christians and killed the Christians and killed the Christians, Baptists, and they killed them and killed them and killed them, still couldn't do away with them. They just flourished even more. And so he went another route and said, oh, I've been saved, and let's all be one happy state church is what it amounted to, and that's what led to Catholicism. Faith is directed towards something or someone. In the case of spiritual things that we're discussing, faith is directed towards God. Okay? I've told you before, you run these fellows in the jail, and some of them say, man, you just got to have faith, 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 faith. Faith in what? I don't know. You know, faith in faith itself? No, it's not faith in faith. Not faith in self, but faith in God. Faith in Jesus. Faith in His Son, through whom He's manifested Himself unto us and by whom He has saved us. Sinners are saved by repentance and faith in God's Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Saved sinners live this life by faith in the Lord. So sinners are saved by faith, right? Sinners are saved by repentance and faith. And then we who are saved live by repentance and faith. Amen? It's the way it is. It's the beginning of a life of repentance and faith, because we have been saved, not seeking to be saved, but because we have been saved by the Lord. Sinners are saved by repentance and faith in God's Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved sinners live this life, this physical life here, by faith in the Lord. Galatians 5, take a look over here. Galatians 5, and we spent some time in Galatians. Remember where it says here in verse number 25, if we live in the Spirit, that's spiritual life, all right? If we live in the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of God, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so we walk physically, taking that which is spiritual and applying it to physical life, being the children of God here in this present time. In 1 John chapter 5, back over there, 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. Let's see what it says here. He says, the apostle writes, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. I tell you what, underline this verse. Well, he's closing out the book. He's here in this, in the divisions that we have, this fifth chapter. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, who's that? Well, that's me. That's you if you're here and saved. That's who he's written to. He's written to the saved. All right? And what's the purpose? What's the purpose? Ye may know ye have eternal life. All right? So he's given us some assuring things and instruction about eternal life, everlasting life. You know, the babe in Christ has to grow. And the sinner that's saved may not know all about what the Scripture says, but we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And the Lord's using our brother to write unto us and to other of the saints. He's written to those that are saved, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, continuing on to believe. We believe unto salvation and life. And walking in the Spirit, we live in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, we continue to believe in the Lord. You know what happens when we start not believing in the Lord, not trusting in the Lord, not looking to the Lord? Then we start getting sweaty hands. We start getting nervous. We start being tempted to run in circles and scream and shout. We start to get and look around, and we start looking at ourselves and others and in this world that we trust. And we start, our world will begin to crumble and fall apart, but we keep our eyes on the Lord. All things are in His hands. Amen? He's got all power, all ability to do all things. Remember, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the thing for us to keep in mind, right? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Well, the only way I can be is through Christ. Brother Jim, I'm afraid. Take it to the Lord. Brother Jim, I'm scared. Take it to the Lord. That's really the same. Brother Jim, I'm excited. I'm troubled. I'm burdened. I'm loaded down. I'm rejoicing. Take them to the Lord. Thank him, praise him, call upon him for help. Take it to the Lord. He is interested in us, isn't he? And he will help. He's written to those, to we that believe, that we may know and be assured that we have eternal life, and that we might keep on believing on our Savior, the Son of God. Salvation of the sinner by repentance and faith, as we've said, is the beginning of life of repentance and faith. Faith in the Lord's ability, faith in the Lord's promises, faith in his work. The Apostle James talks about some of these things too, doesn't he? Turn over here to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, he deals with this, these that speak about having faith. I have faith in God. You know some of them. Maybe we're that way ourselves. We claimed the name of Christ. There was no change in the life. There was no walking in the Spirit. There was just a claim of salvation by the Lord, but just an empty life. Same old life as was before. And here James deals with that in chapter 2, verse number 18. He says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith with my works." See, faith, true faith, is that which leads to action. As I said earlier, by having true faith, we believe God and what he says, and we act upon it to the extent that we can. But if I say, you know, if I say, well, they guarantee me that a tornado is going to land right here, and I say, well, I believe that, but then I don't do anything to protect my family, myself, or board up the building or whatever, do I really believe it? I don't really believe it. I don't believe it. Train's coming, and I've got a picnic on the railroad tracks. If I don't get up and move, I don't really believe the train is coming. And then so the Lord gives us, tells us the truth, and we act upon it. He says, you say you've got faith? Show me faith by your works. How's it manifest? Otherwise, it's just talk. And talk's cheap. Talk always has been cheap, and it will be cheap. But action, just like the Lord, he just didn't say that he'd do something for us. He's said it and done it, hadn't he? He promised to send his Son. He promised, as we saw this morning, that the Lord did those things according to the Scriptures, right? He died according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. Not only did God promise it and say that it would be, but then the Lord Jesus Christ came and did it too. Amen? In the chapter here, it goes on to say in verse number 19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, I believe in God. Well, so do the devils. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And so this, in consideration of this shield of faith, it is shown about in an active life in obedience to the Lord. Verse number 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, right? You've been to the funeral home, seen the body of our friend or our loved one or our fellow saint, brother and sister in Christ, laying there in the casket, and that's their shell. They're not there anymore. As the body without the spirit is dead, their soul is gone, right? So faith without works is dead also. Not just talk. So the shield of faith. The wiles of the devil are many, and the darts or attacks of the wicked will be fiery indeed. But faith in the Lord's salvation, not our salvation, but Lord's salvation. He saved me. And I believe he saved me. And he brought me his word, and he showed me my sin, and he showed me Christ doing what he did for me. I believe him. I trust him. I have no other hope but Christ. I trust in him. The wiles of the devil are many. The darts and attacks of the wicked will be fiery indeed. But the faith in the Lord's salvation, faith in his promises, and we need to know him to be able to be encouraged by him, and faith in his deliverance, which the Scripture tells us about also, we need to know about it so we can have confidence and faith in it, are the only way those fiery darts and those attacks can be quenched or put out. The shield of faith. Above all, take the shield of faith. Faith in the Lord. it'll do a lot for us in this warfare, isn't it? Indeed. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, next time, and we want to give proper attention to it, in verse number 17, we'll be looking at the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. It's a little bit bigger subject, and we want to give plenty of time to that. The whole armor of God. Child of God, avail yourself to it. Don't ignore it. Don't think it's just, that's a really a great passage. I love to hear Brother Jim preach about that. That's just really exciting and encouraging. But if you don't do anything about it, you won't be equipped. And you know what? The attack of Satan, the fiery darts of the wicked will come. The time and opportunity to stand and to withstand. Remember that withstanding is to stand against. That standing is to be there, settled in the and solid in the place. Withstanding is to fight against that and resist that which is evil and wicked. If we're not prepared, we're going to get our feet stomped on and our shins kicked and busted in the gut and a bloody nose and be found without a sword to fight with and no breastplate and no shield, and we're going to be a casualty on the battlefield of life. May the Lord help us that we would put it on, as the Lord tells us, and take it unto us.